Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Milwaukee Mennonite Church. I'm Greg, and I am the worship leader for today. I did want to begin with a note that although we don't believe God is either male or female, in observance of International Women's Day today, use any pronouns you like in the sort of male-centric hymns, and there are a couple of mother gods worked in, so I hope you'll allow those. So raise your hand if you'll be following along electronically today, or if you're just going to wing it. Oh, raise your hand if you're winging it. All right. There's a couple. We'll do a call to worship. But maybe I'll just read that. And some of these are familiar that I think that you may even know your parts. So we lift our eyes looking for help. Our help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. When we have troubles and difficulties, where does our help come from? Our help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. When we are invited into new ways of thinking and being, where does our help come from? Our help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Let us worship the one who faithfully helps us and never leaves us or forsakes us.
And the first song is
To God be glory.
Thank you. 102, To God be the glory. Please stand.
Great is thy faithfulness, number 327.
Number 327, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
We'll now take this time to greet our neighbors and pass the peace of Christ.
I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from God who made heaven and earth. God will not let your foot be moved. God will not sleep. God is your keeper. The sun and shall not hit you, and the moon and will not hit you. God will keep you away from all evil and keep your life. God will watch over you from now until forever. Here ends the reading.
The children can come forward for children's time. Peter, yeah, would you mind coming up too, Peter?
So, I've asked Peter to sit here with me because today's my first day of worship here. Each of you, I'm wondering, are there things in your life that are coming up, maybe, as you get older, that you're looking forward to doing that maybe you can't do now?
Getting a phone.
Getting a phone? That's something you're excited for?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you too? How old do you think you'll be when you get a phone? How many? Oh, five? What do you think about it? As soon as I'm this age, everything's going to be great.
A car.
A car? Yeah, that's an exciting one. What age do you think that would come at?
Maybe like 16.
16, it's right out of the gate. So now, any of those events that maybe you've mentioned, or maybe other things that are coming up in your life that bring a little bit of nervousness, or things that you're like, ooh, I don't know about that thing. Yeah, you're getting braces in 2 months? And a little nervous about that? Yeah, I understand that. But it's something that's that you've been left for. You know, Peter, I think you could use a reminder to be present in the moment where God wants you to be.
Yeah, you're probably right. You know, you do a very good job of that for you, Peter. I'm sorry.
That's okay, Peter. I hope I can be here for you now. When I tell you that, you know, sometimes when I feel a little bit nervous, I like to wear something that reminds me that I'm right where I need to be. In fact, I have this rubber band here, and if you want to put that around your wrist, what I sometimes do is, if I find myself getting a little worried or nervous about something, I might wear something like this and might just sort of pull on that a little bit, give it a little tug. It kind of reminds me to snap right back into the presence. Is that something you think you'd like?
Yeah, thanks.
Sure.
That's helpful.
Absolutely. So maybe you can put the sermon away now.
Yes.
And then, if you need to remind yourself, just give that a little tug.
Great.
And you know, Adelaide has some extra rubber bands if any of you would like. Are there any latex allergies going on in you? I think you'd know. So, and your parents would probably be speaking up at this point if you could. So, Adelaide, would you like to pass out a rubber band? Everyone, there's one out there for everyone. And you can take this with you, and anytime you find yourself getting nervous, maybe before that reading, that's just a little.
Okay.
A reading from Matthew 17, 1 through 9. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here, if you wish. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of God has been raised from the dead."
I'm here. Listener alert, if this sermon feels oddly familiar to you, it's probably because you heard it 3 years ago. When no one had signed up last week, I went back and found this message, and I realized that this was the sermon that started me down a road that led to the current MMC project, documentation project I'm doing. This was the beginning of me intentionally asking to sit down and hear from you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. So with that confession, let me begin, like I said, with a song that might sum up my message better than anything else I'll say today. And of course, it's from Fred Rogers. It's good to look carefully, listen carefully. That's the way you learn a lot of things, carefully look. Look and listen. Speaking of looking, when I first looked at this scripture, I wasn't excited. Nope, that's not completely true. I hated it. It's too tidy and it's hearkening back to the Old Testament. God's already said that this was his son back when Jesus was baptized at the beginning of his ministry. It's too mystical, too magical. Right now, it feels like we have enough magic and visions and alternative facts floating around, and what we need is truth and reality and science, and we need to see these very real things, very important things, right in front of us and name them. I don't need to go up on a mountaintop. There's too much for us to be dealing with right now to take time to climb up a mountain and experience some special effects to be told what we already know. Jesus is God's son. Humans get it wrong. And we should listen to Christ. Duh. Clearly, it took me a little while to get into the scripture. Don't get me wrong, I like sitting with scripture and reading others' takes on its significance and then trying to figure out what it might mean for us today. But this one smacked of all the things I just don't care about. I don't care that this is proof that Christ is the fulfillment of prophecy. I'm sure this is very important, but as someone who already tries to follow Christ, I don't need to be convinced. And if I want to see special effects, there are plenty of movies that have much more stunning displays than this description. So, but the more I sat with it, the more it felt like a foreign film to me. And y'all know how I love my foreign films. Reading this text makes me feel like I'm watching one late at night. I sort of think I know what's going on, but clearly only partially, and if I'm honest, not too much. But I can see it has significance and power. Despite my lack of clarity or understanding, it still moves me. Sometimes even changes me. And this was the beginning of my eventually coming around to the text. I began to appreciate the story when I let go of the commentaries and viewed it more like a piece of art. After all, it's a vision, not an actual event, probably. So Peter, James, and John are led by Jesus up a mountain where all of a sudden Jesus starts to shine like the sun. That would definitely be something. Already, this is where I initially had a hard time getting into the story because there's no way for me to relate to this. Anything I can dream up or a messed up Hollywood equivalent isn't going to do this justice. I wanted to diminish this vision because I can't fathom it. But that's not fair to do. So Jesus gets all shiny faced and boom, there he is with Elijah and Moses. Okay. So Elijah represents the prophets and Moses the law. And how do the disciples know who these guys are? Do they have name tags? They say, I'm Elijah. I'm Moses. It's a vision. They know who they are. Is there meaning outside of what they represent? Was Jesus planning on having a serious sit down with these dudes before all this was going to transpire yet? Remember how I said this was like a foreign film to me? Understandably, and as usual, the disciples are probably feeling pretty out of their element. And leave it to Peter to open his mouth and say something totally appropriate and totally ridiculous. Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings for you. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. I'd like to pause the story just for a moment here and ask, why? Why does Peter feel the need to speak up? I read many different explanations. He wants to hold on to the moment, stay on the mountaintop. He's just doing the appropriate, culturally sensitive response to this event. He's witness to something overwhelming and inconceivable, and he doesn't know what to do, but feels like he needs to do something. I don't know which one of these is right or if it's all of them, but Peter is an idiot. And this makes perfect sense that the church is founded on this clown. We've been building things and talking when we really shouldn't ever since. Peter would have made a great Mennonite. Here's an ethereal vision. Well, the practical thing is to build shelters for them. Or maybe they'd prefer a baked good. In any case, we're not just going to listen. All right, now let's unpause the story. Peter has barely gotten this terrible idea out of his mouth when he gets a smackdown, not from Jesus, but from God directly. This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. Now, I've been so brainwashed in hearing God's voice in a certain deep, powerful, masculine way, but really, who knows? Whatever it sounded like or felt like, it had the disciples flat on the ground, and Peter had to be feeling like a real schmuck. And then, boom, the Old Testament dudes are gone, and Christ isn't shiny anymore. Not that the disciples realize that yet, because they're still groveling face down on the ground. And Jesus, the man they know and love, comes over and touches them and says, get up. do not be afraid. And they get up and follow him down the mountain. As singular and special as this mountaintop story is, many of us have had mountaintop moments, experiences that changed you, transfigured you. How have you changed? How have you been faithful to your new understanding? Or how has life crept back in and maybe changed you back? Also, how do we recognize those holy moments, those mountaintop experiences? How are we open to them? How do we let them happen? How do we move on from them? And when, not unlike the Apostle Peter, all these questions set my mind spinning in all sorts of directions, I remember the words, brief words of God that finally shut Peter up. "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." Are we listening to Christ? Who are we listening to? How are we listening? Like Peter, how or where is God telling us to shut up and listen? In our politics? In our personal lives? In our church family? How are we listening for Christ's voice? How do we shut out all the noise and tune in to God? I'm not making a suggestion here. I'm truly asking. Because in my very limited ability to do this, I have witnessed the power of shutting my trap and listening on some occasions, and it can be really powerful. Listening to what many of you have shared in your interviews with me has been such a gift. Every single interview I've done has left me thinking and thankful. And listening to your stories, experiences, thoughts, has reminded me that mountaintop moments, personal transfiguration, doesn't always come out of positive experiences. It can, especially with the love and support of community, but often those moments are painful, maybe even hurtful, or at least maybe very awkward and uncomfortable. And yet we can still learn and grow from them. So we have to listen for the voice of Christ. We also have to watch that we don't pull an Apostle Peter and try to do something when we should be listening. I think it's one of my greatest temptations, doing. And don't get me wrong, I truly believe we are called to action, actions Christ would have us do. But first, we have to truly listen, then do. Otherwise, as one commentary said, doing will be grounded in fear and devoid of any joy. I'm guilty of that at times. You know how I know I'm guilty of that? Because of how angry I got at this text and the commentaries and reflections and the sermons I read related to it. I was exasperated when I read this reflection. We should be transfigured. We should take on the appearance of Jesus. We should take on the qualities of Jesus. We should live life with grace and tranquility. We should radiate love and kindness. We should be overflowing with exuberance and excitement. Yes, we should, but we're human. Life is tough. I might aspire to these fanciful words, but when I first read them, they just made me tired. That's a theme I've heard from many of you. You love church. Church is life-giving and so important. And yet you're tired. If that's the case, what do we need to feel rejuvenated? I certainly don't have the answer for that. But as cliche and maybe unhelpful as it sounds, maybe it starts with following Christ. Following Christ up the mountain, wherever that leads us. And when we find ourselves close to Christ and the divine, it'll scare the crap out of us. But let's not run or check our phones or start doing something. Let's listen. And it might seem like what we're doing isn't enough or not right or a waste of time, but don't let that stop us. Keep listening. And then, once we've heard Christ's heed to get up and not be afraid, follow Christ off the mountain, taking our time, putting one foot in front of the other until we're back down in the valley. Then, and only then, will it be time to do. I think for me, this first step up the mountain has been this documenting project. After my presentation 2 weeks ago on Milwaukee Mennonite Today, Cheryl asked me why I was doing this. Is there a specific outcome I'm looking for, or we're looking for? I don't claim to have that kind of vision or purpose. My goal is to listen, to document, and to share. However the Spirit moves from there is fine with me. I think the personal mountaintop moment that I've had so far, personally received, as I wend my way through this project, is a name or a description for my role in life. Whatever I do. Some are teachers. Some are healers. Some are doers. Some are thinkers. Some are prophets. Some are singers. I am a journalist. A journalist of the soul. And with that realization, I think this might be my next step up the mountain. Maybe. What mountain do you need to climb? Where do you need to listen for Christ's voice? It's good to look carefully, listen carefully. That's the way you learn a lot of things, carefully. Look, look, and listen. Some things you see are confusing. Some things you hear are strange. But if you ask someone to explain one or two, you'll begin to notice a change in you. You've got to look carefully, listen carefully. That's the way to keep on growing carefully. Look, look, and listen. Thank you for listening. I'll leave you with another mountaintop experience, this one from Elijah in 1 Kings. Now there was a great wind, so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice that said, "What are you doing here?"
Our song of response is "Don't Be Afraid." I will sing this from memory.
I always like a good coda. Thank you. We'll begin our responding time now with a ritual of response, followed by a time for congregational reflection and sharing of joys and concern. Please pray with me now as we enter into this time together. Mother God, you open us to new life, new hope, new possibilities. You conquer the way we close up, close down, and close in. Open our hearts to feel your compassion for people we would rather walk by. Open our ears to hear the cries of the suffering deep inside, where we cannot fail to be moved. Open our understanding to new ways of living that do not diminish anyone. Open our eyes to see a vision of this world as you would have it. Amen. So this week's responding ritual will open with a few minutes of silence, during which everyone is invited to consider one new action or way of thinking or of being that you feel that God might be calling you to do. So at the table next to me are pieces of paper and writing utensils. You can, if you wish, use this time to come forward and write down that invitation that you are feeling, either in the form of words or in pictures, and you can carry that with you through the week. Keep it in a place where you will see it often and be reminded of this call and keeping you in the present. So let's now enter a time of silence together. Lord, for all these things, spoken and unspoken, let us pray. Mother God, to those chosen to see, you revealed your beloved child, transfigured in glory on the Holy Mount. In your great mercy, help us to see. Deliver us from this world's darkness. Change us from glory to glory in your likeness, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. So if you're following along digitally, please read along with me the confession. I'll give you a moment to pull out your phones, but don't feel like you have to read if you'd prefer to be analog today. We confess, O God, that you are faithful, loving, and totally trustworthy. We also confess our desire for what is familiar, comfortable, and secure. We acknowledge that you sometimes call us to accept new challenges, new ways of thinking, or new places of service. Lord, give us the grace to respond to your call when you invite us into new ways of being. Friends, the one who calls us is the faithful one who promised to never leave us or forsake us. May you know God's faithful presence more fully. Thanks be to God. Now move into our closing hymn, or sending hymn, number 428 in the blue hymnal.
I'll sing this through once, and then please join me the second time.
Lord, let us now be
As you move into this new week, may you be blessed with new opportunities to live more fully into God's faithful, loving presence. We'll move now into our Christian education, followed by our love feast.